Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
All of us are more than aware of bad news, that's for sure. Political turmoil, economic uncertainty, terrorism, extremism, racism, poverty, illiteracy, fatherlessness, homelessness, addiction, disease, disorder, hurricanes, earthquake, wildfires, hate crimes, road rage, gun violence. The list could go on and on. Of course, bad news is news. The bad part is what makes it newsworthy and noteworthy. It's definitely what grabs and holds our attention. Surprisingly, for all our experience of bad news notwithstanding, it still has the ability to shock and amaze us, or at least distract us from our own problems. But we noted last week in kicking off this series, while human nature is drawn to bad news out there in the world, we are all personally hungering for good news back here at home. Even though bad news gets our attention quickly, in our hearts and souls, in who we are, basically, we hunger for good news. Last week, we noted that the good news we all ultimately need to hear is given to us in the Gospels, those four accounts of the life of Jesus that we find in the Bible. Gospel, literally meaning good news. Unfortunately, many people don't see Christianity as good news. Some people aren't so much living their faith as they are playing at an ongoing negotiation with a God who is all about bad news, intrusive religious rule-keeping, and impending punishment and doom. Lots of other people, more and more, in fact, in our culture, in our time, are just giving up on God altogether. We're embracing an amorphous kind of spirituality that's devoid of any kind of content. And they're doing it because there's nothing particularly attractive or attractional about many of the communities of people who claim Christ's name. Meanwhile, the fact of the matter is that God has told us the good news. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Through the course of this series, that's what we're looking at, reacquainting ourselves with the various aspects of the good news that God has given us that can so positively impact our personal experience and our experience as a community of faith. Today, we're going to look at good news as it presents itself in the good news about prayer. Prayer. Probably most people pray and recognize the need for prayer. Over half of Americans say they pray on a daily basis, and over 70% say they pray at least once a week. Today we're going to look at some good news about prayer. But to appreciate this good news, we need to acknowledge right up front a difficult fact of life that we all know, we've all experienced. Some prayers work, and some prayers don't We want to pray. It's in our nature. It's our instinct. We want to believe God comes through for us, but then he doesn't. The reasons don't always seem obvious. Maybe he's got bigger, better things to do. Maybe he's not really out there. Maybe he just doesn't care. I recently heard a true story about a little boy whose father was a workaholic. And he would come home from the office, usually late, grab dinner, and then go right to his home office, close the door, and work till long after the little boy was in bed. The son took to writing little notes to his dad and sliding them under the office door, hoping his father would answer back, but he never did. Often, he didn't even read the notes. Little boy would find them on the floor, unopened, in the morning. When prayers don't get answered in the affirmative, or they don't get answered at all, we can be left feeling like that disappointed little boy. We can come to doubt the power of prayer and even the character and competency of God. What kind of father is he? That's some of the bad news about prayer for sure. The good news is that the reality is actually much more complex and dynamic. The good news is that Jesus knew this would happen. He foresaw this disappointment. Although he taught us to pray and he modeled prayer in his own life over and over again, he knew that it would disappoint from time to time, that it might strike us as ineffective. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. You know, throughout this series, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. And if you'd like to enhance or upgrade your experience of this series, you might do well to just take some time in the next few weeks to read the Gospel of Luke, read the whole Gospel. It's actually my favorite Gospel of the four. Today we're picking it up in the 18th chapter where we read this. Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. So right up front, Jesus recognizes that we might be disappointed in prayer. And so he tells this story. There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, "Render a just decision for me against my adversary." So the story has two characters. One is a judge, a kind of community magistrate. In this case, the guy is corrupt. That's what we know about him. The second character is a widow who comes before the judge with a problem of some kind. We don't know what the problem is. The story doesn't tell us. What we do know is that in that culture at that time, women did not typically appear in court. Men went for them. So when we learn that the woman is going before the judge, we know that she has no relative of any kind to speak on her behalf, which also inevitably meant she was poor, because women couldn't own property in their own right or hold most jobs. She's all alone, she's on her own, and she's got nothing. If you were looking for the person on the very lowest rung of the social ladder in that community, she'd be it. She probably needed all the help that she could get, but she can do nothing to get this judge to help her out. Well, next to nothing, nearly nothing. She decides that she's going to keep coming. She decides to be persistent. What's that? Well, persistence is the firm resolution to continue in an established direction despite difficulties. It's the firm resolution to continue in an established direction despite difficulties. That's what she does. Look what happens. For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, "While it is true, I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. Don't miss that last line. Lest she finally come and strike me. Does that sound strange to you? That sounds pretty strange to me. Here's this powerful judge everybody in the community fears, and he's afraid of this poor little old lady. Lest she come and strike me. Actually, the word in the original Greek was taken from boxing, and it was a technical term. What he's really saying is, lest she knock me down with her blows and give me a black eye. What's that all about? Well, it's not hyperbole. It's actually humor. And he meant for you to laugh. Jesus used humor all the time because he knew it was a good way to get people's attention. But what's the point? Well, the judge is unwilling to help the widow because he's not interested in justice, but eventually he accedes to her request because something changes in the equation. And it's not the judge. He remains corrupt. He admits that himself. Apparently, the widow changed. How? Well, through the exercise of her persistence. Her persistence made her stronger. That's the point. Jesus underscores it. He says, pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him night and day? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice will be done speedily. Now, in most parables Jesus told, somebody is usually God, somebody's usually us. So if we're supposed to be like the persistent widow, that makes God the unjust, corrupt, self-interested judge, which doesn't make any sense. So what do we do with this? Well, in fact, here, Jesus is not comparing his heavenly Father to the judge. He's contrasting the two. He's saying that even an unjust judge would eventually accede to an unwanted request in the face of persistence. He encourages us to keep on praying and keep on praying, even if our prayer doesn't seem to be working. Why? Because we're not praying to an unjust judge. We're praying to our loving Heavenly Father who is for us and not against us. In fact, Jesus makes this promise. Will not God secure the rights of his chosen ones to those who call out to him day and night? God has already chosen you. In the communion song we sing today, we sing, I am chosen, not forsaken. Same for you. You are chosen. He's already called you and chosen you. He seeks to have a relationship with you through his son. Through his son, he's already given you his blood. So of course he cares about your needs and your family needs. Of course he cares about your health and well-being. Of course he cares about your hopes and dreams. To which you might say, okay, but that doesn't exactly answer my question. What about my disappointment with prayer? If God is going to answer our prayers, why doesn't he just do it? Why isn't it simple as that? We ask, he has the power to respond. He gives us what we ask for. If it's not ridiculous, if it's not absurd, if it's not unreasonable, why can't it just be that simple? If he's God, why can't it be that simple? But think about it. Isn't it a little naive to think that anything in life is ever that simple? We want prayer to be easy, the same way we want our jobs to be easy and our relationships and friendships to be easy and our child rearing to be easy and our family life to be easy. But none of those things come easily to us. Your job is not easy. Your relationships and friendships are not easy. Raising your kids sure isn't easy. Family life is never easy. Why would we think prayer should be easy? We have to work at all these things to get good at them. The reason God may not seem to be responding to your prayer, the reason God may not seem to be responding to your prayer is because God wants us to change and grow stronger. When God seems slow to answer our prayer, he may be doing something in us and with us. Maybe he's maturing our character. Maybe he's reshaping our hearts. Maybe he's changing our minds. For instance, sometimes our prayer needs to look beyond our needs. When you were a child or you first came to faith, you prayed prayers that were, frankly, mostly, all about you. God is utterly delighted with our prayer in whatever form it takes. Make no mistake about that. But eventually, he wants us to pray beyond our needs. He wants us to pray beyond finding a parking spot or acing the exam or the Ravens beating the Steelers. This just doesn't mean we should stop praying for our needs, but if we're never getting beyond them, our prayer could become shallow. In his apparent silence, God might be calling you to a deeper level. So sometimes we need persistence in prayer so that we see beyond our needs to God's greater purposes. Or sometimes we're praying for the wrong thing. God in his wisdom answers our prayers, and the answer might be no. Or he seems to be ignoring us, but he's really loving us and keeping us from something that's not good for us that we don't even recognize. Sometimes we need persistence in prayer so that we can recognize good from bad and right from wrong. Sometimes our prayers are just too vague. General, vague prayers don't really work. They're not all that great because we can't recognize when they've been answered. The more specific our prayer, the more potentially effective. Think about it. Instead of praying for your marriage in some kind of general, unspecified way, pray for the grace to not criticize your spouse in the week ahead. Pray for that. Instead of praying for your kids or your grandkids in some kind of global way, pray for the wisdom to speak positively into their lives at least once a day. Sometimes we need persistence in prayer to become specific, to become focused. Sometimes our prayers are just too casual. We pray in a kind of off-the-cuff, half-hearted sort of way that takes God for granted or treats him like a genie in a bottle to be summoned upon demand. Or we try and trade with him or trick him and barter with him. I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise. We pray like that. But God doesn't want a casual relationship with us. He doesn't want that relationship to be so superficial. He wants us to love him with the whole of our hearts. So sometimes we need persistence in prayer to recognize the purpose and power of prayer and God's proper place in our lives. And sometimes it all comes down to this. Sometimes God's will is being opposed. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because often it's not. God's will is opposed. God's will is not done. It happens all the time. There are powers in this world opposed to God. Eventually, they'll be defeated for sure, no question. But for now, they can slow down what God wants to do in our lives. Effective prayer, powerful prayer, is far more a partnership with God than just begging God to do something. The good news is we can work with God, that his kingdom may come and his will may be done. Sometimes we need to persevere in prayer to discover the steps we need to take and what we need to do to effectively partner with him. We have a part to play and a job to do. And despite our prayer, maybe nothing will happen until that happens. So anyway, here's your homework for the week ahead. No big deal, but think about it. Where do you need God's intervention, his power, in your life, specifically this week? If you have a daily quiet time, in your quiet time, pray for that power persistently every day this week. And if you don't have a quiet time, rethink that and carve out some time this week. Even 5 or 6 minutes a day can be a great start. You can do it in your car. Ask God to help you recognize the way he is looking to change you and make you stronger. Because part of God's will for your life is to change you and make you stronger. Ask him about that. Ask him. And then ask him again.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.